We often hear today that many of the founding fathers were essentially unbelievers. A prime example is Thomas Jefferson, yet he wrote the first draft of the Declaration of Independence, which says that our rights come from the Creator. There are references to God, for example, as seen in the Jefferson Memorial in Washington, D.C., which was built from 1939 to 1943. Dr. Mark Belisles of Charlottesville is the co-founder of Providence Foundation, not to be confused with Providence Forum, for which I'm involved in. And Mark Belisles and I have co-written a couple of books on the faith, or even lack thereof, of Thomas Jefferson. In fact, one is called Doubting Thomas, and the other, coming soon, is Thomas Jefferson and the God Who Gave Us Liberty. We're going to focus right now on Jefferson and God as seen at the Jefferson Memorial. I'm Jerry Newcomb. This is Vocal Point. And Mark, it's always a pleasure to have you on the program. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Jerry. Great to be with you again.
Sure. Okay. And for those not familiar with the idea that Jefferson might even have been, could be classified as a Christian, why don't you just give a short answer, especially trying to basically say, no, Jefferson was not, you know, a deist, you know, in the sense that he wanted to drive God out of the public arena.
Yeah, for sure. Jefferson is especially a lot of times thought of as not very orthodox in his beliefs because of things he wrote in late in life. But especially most of his life, but especially in the early part of his life when he was writing the Declaration of Independence, he was a regular member in good standing of the Episcopal Church, and then helped start, once the break came with England, an independent church called the Calvinistical Reformed Church in Charlottesville. He pledged the most money to pay for its evangelical pastor, Reverend Clay. He was also constantly attending church throughout his life, Trinitarian churches, in the capital in Washington, D.C. He helped specifically invite in Presbyterians and others that he enjoyed their preaching. He was a man who supported, tithed, gave money, and all those things that would be a typical way in which people would consider someone as a Christian. And he was known as that really throughout his life. It's only late after that, you know, he died that more of the idea that he was not Orthodox Christian became known.
Well, and the Bible didn't help. The excerpts that he did from the Gospels were have been sometimes called the Jefferson Bible, and the goal, it is stated, was to supposedly take the miracles out. Can you just real briefly, because we're going to focus on Jefferson and the Jefferson Memorial, yeah, but I do think the Jefferson Bible, so-called, does need to be addressed briefly.
Yeah, and it's something that's very important to recognize. No one in Jefferson's lifetime ever even knew of that, except a few in his private family. They didn't even see it, but they just knew of it. He drafted, while he was president, a digest of the words of Jesus. And what in his own handwriting, he wrote that it was for the use of the Indians, a digest for the use of the Indians. So this is interesting because he had just enlarged, doubled the territory of the United States, or the Louisiana Territory, and missionaries were asking for help to support missionary work among the Native Americans. But this is really what is sometimes called the Jefferson Bible today. He never called it that ever once. He never said he was doing it to reduce the miracles. He said it was for reaching the Indians.
And even in the examples of those texts, I mean, in other words, in the so-called Jefferson Bible, there are things like heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out demons. I mean, those are miracles, so there it is. All right, here's a quote from the Jefferson Memorial. I have sworn upon the altar of God eternal hostility against every form of tyranny over the mind of man.
What a great quote, huh? It's that, and along with others, this really shows Jefferson's primary motivation. When he wrote that, he was writing to an ally in New England that was pushing for religious freedom.
Dr. Benjamin Rush, wasn't he Pennsylvania-based?
But he was talking about, especially Benjamin Rush was evangelical himself, but a lot of the opponents of Jefferson were people, especially still in New England after the Revolution, who were trying to still hold on to their state churches, establishments in Massachusetts and Connecticut and up north. And this was a lot of times opposition in the fight for disestablishment, which is not a fight against religion. It was against coercion by the state of in favor of one particular denomination.
You know, this
that's
is
what Jefferson was opposed to.
Yeah, this is really a great point that you're making. In fact, I'm going to jump to another one on the northeast wall of the deck of the Jefferson Memorial. Is the religious statute for religious freedom. Almighty God hath created the mind free. All attempts to influence by temporal punishments or burdens are a departure from the plan of the holy author of our religion. Now, the quote itself goes on, you know, to basically say, hey, you know, he didn't use the word Jesus, but that is Jesus that he's talking about. And basically he's saying, hey, he was Lord and he could have chosen coercion or force as a means to propagate faith in him, but he didn't. He chose reason.
Correct. And that's really an important context because, again, there in Virginia, his allies in pushing for this statute of religious freedom were Christian clergymen. They were, but of the non-state Anglican church. They were Presbyterians and Methodists and Baptists and others who were being persecuted. And yet they were the allies with Jefferson. They weren't pushing for it to remove religion. They were just wanting, indeed, in the name of Jesus, in the name of the author of our religion, they wanted to create a free marketplace of ideas for the religious expression without persecution.
So sometimes Jefferson is interpreted today as being anti-religious, and in reality, what he is very much so was anti-established religion. In other words, because if, for example, if the Presbyterian denomination were to be the national denomination, where would that put the Anglicans? Where would that put the Methodists, etc., the Catholics?
Correct, and that's really his desire is definitely. Not against organized religion. That might be a way modern people might say. He wasn't anti-religion being organized. He was very much supportive of organized religion. He just was against state coercion, using state power in exclusion of all other denominations. And by the way, the very same time he wrote that statute for religious freedom, he right after that, in fact, he became governor and then issued a proclamation for a day of thanksgiving and prayer and quoted the one from Congress that talked about the merits of our Redeemer, Jesus Christ. I mean, this was the foundation for the context of even of that Virginia statute.
And that Virginia statute is often given by the date of 1786, which is when it was accepted, and he was already in France by that time. But the date he wrote it was 1777, and that's kind of significant because that gets back to that evangelical church he co-founded, was co-founded
Correct.
In 1777. Wow.
Yes. Yep. That was his context, really, to understand him.
I think an injustice then has been done to Thomas Jefferson, maybe even by modern believers, because they're overstating his anti-religious sentiment. In reality, it's anti-established religion sentiment.
Correct. Yes, indeed. Anti-state coerced state, enforced religion. That he was against that. He wanted it. He wanted religion, Christian religion. But he wanted it to be something that was freely chosen.
Okay, on the northwest wall of the Jefferson Memorial, here are some other quotes from Thomas Jefferson. The God who gave us life gave us liberty at the same time. Can the liberties of a nation be secure when we have removed a conviction that these liberties are the gift of God? Wow, that is not too subtle.
Yeah, very clear. I think it's another wonderful quote by Jefferson later in life was he said, our right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness was not drawn under the charters of kings or legislators, but under the King of Kings. He clearly was connected this idea that if we don't have that understanding that liberties came from God, specifically even the King of Kings, which would be Jesus Christ, then we are misunderstanding really the whole fight. It comes, our freedoms are from God. and the state is cannot ever remove those.
And let me just go hone back to that one question he asked. Can the liberties of a nation be secure when we have removed a conviction that these liberties are the gift of God? In other words, can this whole thing be sustained if the people lose their faith in God? I'm kind of reminded of Benjamin Franklin when asked, you know, what kind of government have you given us, Dr. Franklin? A republic, madam, if you can keep it.
Yeah, the memory of a recognition of this higher law of God, the source of all freedom, is absolutely essential for the survival of a free republic. And that's the founding fathers almost universally ascribed to that view. If we remove that conviction, we have no chance of surviving.
All right, and now I've saved the big one for the last few minutes, and that is, also at the Jefferson Memorial are quotes directly from the Declaration of Independence, and of course Jefferson was the chief author of that. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they're endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights. Among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Let's stop right there and have you comment on that. Is that significant?
Yes, indeed. You see here, recognition of the Creator as the source of our rights, or as later said, the King of Kings. These are things that clearly we have to, is what makes this document and this that we celebrate this 250 years so profound, so impactful around the world, recognizing our liberties come from God, our rights come from God. And that's something that I believe that even in the whole definition of it, the laws of nature and of nature's God, it's all defined even in the context of the time as being the Creator God. And God is, by the way here, the idea of Creator is important because this means it doesn't come just from our Redeemer, but from our Creator, meaning these are rights that are not just for Christians who have embraced the redemption through belief in Jesus Christ, but these are for all humans. They come from the Creator of all humans, and they're universal, therefore, for all people.
Would it be safe to say that the Judeo-Christian doctrine found in Genesis 1, that human beings are made in the image of God, that that's kind of a predicate then for the idea that we are endowed by our Creator with our, unalienable rights?
For sure. I think that's the foundational biblical truth. This kind of worldview is what shaped the Western world, beginning with the birth of Christianity and spread through Europe and eventually had its full flower here at the independence of the United States. And it was that worldview was what Thomas Jefferson would even describe when he wrote the Declaration as basically the consensus of the American mind. That biblical mind, a Christian mind, was the foundation for all of these ideas that really established our country.
All right, last quote for you from the Jefferson Memorial. For the support of this declaration, with a firm reliance on the protection of divine providence, we mutually pledge our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor. Thank you, Mecklenburg Presbyterians, who wrote those words, those three phrases, a year before, 1775. Our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor. But your comments on that. We got 45 seconds.
I think we have to be thankful that because people were willing to take a stand like our founding fathers, which, by the way, they didn't actually sign that declaration until August 2nd, and we need to pledge ourselves again this coming August 2nd to those same principles. And if we do that before God, we can possibly have a chance for future continuation of the Republic and for restoration of our nation to its original purposes.
All right, Mark Belisles, and why don't you give us a website you want to refer to?
Well, listen, if you want to...
We have about 15 seconds. Go ahead.
Yeah. Hey, we go to Barnes & Noble and look for our book, Thomas Jefferson and the God Who Gave Us Liberty. Pre-sale now. I think that's really one of the greatest things you can get for this independence.
All right, Mark Belisles, thanks so much. All the best.